We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Today, we're happy to introduce a special guest, David Harry, SEO consultant with Verve Developments and founder of the SEO Dojo. Thanks for coming today, bud.
Well, thanks for having me, of course. I kind of tracked you guys down. We got to get this out there, man.
We love it. It's been a while since we had you on the show. This isn't your first time, is it?
No, I think once or twice. And yeah, Webcology and Synergy. So yeah, I've been on around this for a while, but yeah, I haven't done anything for 8 months. So,
Oh, there you go. You take quite a break, did you?
Yeah, you just had to. Like we were talking before the show, you know, you get the writing thing does wear on you after a while. And, you know, I was doing two, you know, podcasts for 5 or 6 years, doing two hangouts a week and writing. And, you know, it was like, okay, I need, you know, then clients, you know, I started to forget what my kids look like. So,
yeah, good for you.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah. They, what's that old saying? They dragged me back in.
Don't they ever? Oh, man. Well, today's show is about RankBrain. Now, RankBrain, that's RankBrain, was the news of the search engine world on October 26, 2015, when Bloomberg Business released an article titled "Google Turning Its Lucrative Web Search Over to AI Machines." Now, that's some link bait. All right, okay. So... since there's been wild conjecture about what RankBrain is and whether it has anything to do with ranking, today's show is all about figuring that all out. And we brought David on because he has just written an article called Getting Your Head Around Google's RankBrain. So I guess first let's start some basic before we get into this, because I know, David, you're going to have a lot of you've got lots of great points, but using some words that maybe our listeners don't know very well.
Well, real quick, let's make sure people know where to see his article, because he published it on the SEM post, and it's one of the best articles I've seen so far on the subject, so I just want to throw that out there. David did a ton of research, and he really dug into this deeper than anybody so far, so that's why I wanted him on the show. And take some time, go read this article. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to take you make sure you have a good coffee and your head's on straight. It's a bit of, if you're not into SEO, it can be a bit tricky to get your mind wrapped around, but it's good stuff. So first, some key definitions. What is semantic? Semantics are, in this case, the study of meaning, and this is right from Wikipedia, it focuses on the relationship between signifiers, like words, phrases, signs, and symbols, and what they stand for. So semantics is something we use a lot in the show. We talk about it all, pretty much every show.
I always have a good example I try to give folks, especially, sure, you know, that are trying to learn or get their heads around it. what a search engine's using semantics for is just like you said with that definition, is understanding concepts and you know, what is a page about. The one I like to use a lot over the years is Jaguar. Okay, you've got a car, you've got an animal, you've got a football team, you've got an operating system. And so to, you know, this one word, Google has to now figure out, well, what is this page about? And so it's going to look for other semantic relevant terms like big cat, predator, you know, short fur, et cetera, et cetera. That's probably not going to be a car.
It'll be the football team. Right. It's the football team, right?
Exactly. But yeah, so in a simplest definition, that's kind of how what semantics is to a search engine. It's trying to relate words, phrases, concepts, and put them together to better understand what a page is about.
Perfect. Thank you. So what about vectors? How would you describe that, especially in this realm? I mean, it's the vectors. There's, well, three different ways of explaining what those are, I mean, depending on the topic.
Yeah, traditionally, you know, again, so well, like we just said, normal traditional semantic analysis is going to use words and look for common words, common themes and concepts, whereas vectors is turning these words now into more of a numerical sense. Okay, and so this the vectors are a numerical representation of these words, and it's almost like a graph showing, you know, you could think of them as nodes almost, and how close is this word related to this word, and how close is this word related to that word. But it's a more of a numerical sense, so you have a, you know, a predicted percentage or predicted number that shows you, you know, within reason, this number is closer to this number, right? So
right.
Essentially nodes.
And all of these are connected to machine learning, which is yet the other thing, which is and it just freaks people out, I know. We're not talking like the ultimate artificial intelligence here. Machine learning is very an essential part of building these networks, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, the machine learning is again, it's taking it out of the hands of, you know, we always call it turning the dials. Like someone at Google's turning the dials on this algo or that algo, trying to get better search quality. Whereas now, essentially, the machine learning, the system is going to try for itself to learn what's working and what doesn't. You know, you could probably use click data and things of that nature, and it's going to try and use the artificial intelligence and machine learning to slowly figure out, okay, what's working, what isn't, retrains itself. And then in the case of RankBrain, it's kind of like the old Google dance. It's not on the fly. RankBrain is more of a data push, meaning they'll do the machine learning. It's like they're babysitting it offline, you know. the machine learning's trying something. The daddy comes along, says, okay, you're doing okay here. Okay, fine, we'll push it out. And, you know, then they'll push it out into the index. So, yeah, RankBrain is not happening in real time. And the machine learning isn't happening in real time.
And an interesting way for me to describe machine learning to people is if you're following instructions on how to do something and you're following the instructions and all of a sudden you're doing it in real time in the real world and you realize there's a better way to do something that's in the instructions, machine learning will automatically implement that better way, that it figures out a better way to do something based on what it's been told to do already. And that's a big difference from what a lot of people have been talking about artificial intelligence related to this. And correct me if I'm wrong, but artificial intelligence does not exist yet. I mean, if you're a piano kid,
not in a day. Yeah. Like we have a problem.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah, no, certainly not.
And if you're a piano tuner and you're following instructions on how to tune a piano, and you can adjust those and improve those instructions, that's machine learning. If you're writing music and creating something beautiful, that's artificial intelligence. Yeah, there's the difference.
Definitely. Yeah, it's not making up its own rules and classifiers. It's following what it's been told. So, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Makes me want to – I'm gonna look this up while you guys are talking here. Does artificial intelligence exist? And I bet you there are applications where it does exist.
Well, and I'm sure there's a lot of scientists getting funding that are going to say yes to, right?
Yeah. It depends on which definition of artificial intelligence you follow as well.
Yes, but I mean the real one. Because
has any machine fully passed the Turing test yet? Isn't that the definition? Isn't that?
I know a lot of this is in robotics and things of that nature, and you know, nothing I've seen, because, you know, literally I'm just such a pathetic geek. I don't really watch like sitcoms. So after I finished doing all this research, I went to YouTube, started watching all these documentaries on artificial intelligence and all this other stuff. And yeah, I don't think they're really, you know, quite there by any definition we'd consider. So
yeah, they're not coming to get us yet, but they will.
Well, okay, so here. Major AI researchers and textbooks define this field, that's artificial intelligence, as the study and design of intelligent agents, in which an intelligent agent is a system that perceives its environment and takes actions that maximize its chances of success. So I would imagine if that's the case, then yes, there is.
Yeah, certainly. There are like robots and things like that going on that have some sense of awareness, right? I think the ultimate test in what I was watching these documentaries apparently is making robots that play soccer. So
those are the same people that are trying to get funding so they can continue their artificial intelligence research, right? So they're going to say, yeah, we've done it, right? You know, the Turing test, Alan Turing developed this test in 1950. I'm reading this, by the way. I'm not this good. And it basically said, this test tests a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior equivalent to or indistinguishable from that of a human. That Turing test is basically what is going to define a real artificial intelligence, when it's indistinguishable from a human. That does not exist. No, there's no machine that's passed that yet, the Turing test.
Oh, yeah, unless it's maybe a 3-year-old human. They're not defining what intelligence level that human in question has.
Yeah, I know some humans that can't pass quite a few tests that would – so you're a good point.
That'll go down a deep, long hole here. Okay, so the final one is – the final word here to discuss about our topic in this case is hummingbird. Now, hummingbird – in many senses, from what I've been read, not only from your article, but just from what I've read about the rank brain, is essentially like the fledgling version of rank brain, isn't it?
Yeah, you could even consider, I think, probably that rank brain is a part and parcel, a smaller piece thereof. But a lot of this, including hummingbird and rank brain, I think at the end of the day, this is really geared towards the holy grail, which is voice search. Because a lot of what came out around hummingbird was conversational search and how that works with Google. So I think at the end of the day, so much of this is really geared toward that holy grail. You know, Aussie Webmaster and I were talking the other day, and you know, he's in Australia. Mate here is in where I live in Canada, means my wife, whereas mate down there means a friend or something else. So it's trying to understand these different dialects and different words and how this eventually is going to pan out in the world of voice search, which I think is where all this is headed. So hummingbird was kind of the real first step towards that conversational search type approach, and I think a lot of this is the same thing, because it's looking for ambiguous queries or words or queries it doesn't quite understand, so it's predicting what the answer to that question is. So I think it's probably actually part of hummingbird.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of skirted what it is. So you just you pretty much give a bit of a summary of what rank brain is. So why did you write this article?
Well, just because there wasn't a lot of sound understandings or discussions about it. You know, obviously, as usual, Google's not telling us exactly what's happening. So, you know, everyone's left with their conjecture, and I started reading some link-baity type of posts, and I, you know, other people that were making statements that it's, you know, when it comes out, meanwhile, it's been out for almost a year, probably a year or more now. So there was just a lot of confusion. Private groups I was a part of, people were like, how do we SEO for Rank Brain and all this stuff? And I was like, okay, that's it. You know, okay, so like I told you before the show, this thing kind of just flew by the radar back in October, and you know, Bill and I kind of chatted, and Bill wrote something, and we all just went on with our lives. And the last few weeks, obviously, it's sprung back to life. So I figured someone had to dig into some of this, and right away, I started finding these WordTivec papers and patents that were about, you know, turning. And Google had a project. You can go, if you've got Python installed on a machine, you can literally go and download the code and get your own WordTivec project running and see what it does. You know, you can, if you really want to get into it.
So you mentioned WordTivec. I want to talk about that a little bit later, because that's really specific to a lot of what's going on with Rank Brain. But you know, when you said there's a lot of information out there, there's a lot of information that just was plain wrong. So just kind of, I just want to help our listeners understand what not to worry about. What is this not going to affect? What are some of the things you don't have to worry about when you're thinking about, okay, what do I have to do for Rank Brain, right?
Yeah, I you know so many copywriters, as we all do in this industry, and you know, for folks like that, this is a great thing, because it's just another step down the road of you know, keywords are dead. And you know, I used to say it a long time ago, and I would tell people, think phrases and concepts. You know, like Google came out with things, not strings. And you know, people say, well, what do I do for Rank Brain? And I tell them, nothing. if you're still growing organic traffic month over month with whatever you're doing, keep doing that, because this has been around for a year. This isn't just popped up because someone wrote about it, you know, 2 weeks ago. So if you're doing something and it's working, you're good. You know, when you're writing, don't you know, you shouldn't be keyword stuffing at this, you know, 2016 anyways. But you know, don't get caught up in overly, you know, trying to think what words I want to rank for in this post. You know, think in terms of writing more naturally, writing things that support, again, going back to the example on semantic analysis, writing articles or content that is more natural, that is, you know, again, it's natural language processing. So write more natural, support the concepts on a page as opposed to trying to stuff it with keywords and things of that nature.
Makes sense. So I guess I'm just trying to keep this geared towards our audience. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Traditionally, when I say traditionally, years ago, basically how the search engines worked was they'd gather a bunch of data about your site. They'd crawl it or however they get. They'd get all this information about your site. They'd gather the data, and then they'd analyze it and score it, and different factors would get different scores. And those were the two basic steps. There's a lot of nuances and a lot of things in between there. And to me, it sounds like with a combination of Hummingbird and RankBrain, they're really focusing on a third step tied to those two that are really – it's really about the query itself and understanding what's being asked. Does that make sense? Is that an easy way to explain this to our audience as far as how RankBrain yeah. fits into the picture?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Hummingbird is a good tie-in as well because, yeah, this is kind of more on the user side, understanding what someone's actually looking for. They've already got their own ranking mechanism for pages, you know, from PageRank to other things. You know, it's not as much how a page is ranked. And that's the unfortunate thing about the naming here. I swear to God, somebody at Google's like laughing at their ass off the day they came up with that one. They're like, let's put the word rank in there. It'll drive the SEOs mental. There's a whole bunch of people on the floor laughing somewhere. You know?
Yeah, I think the name of this is definitive proof that Google does hate SEOs. Yep.
Yeah, they get the kick out of it for sure. So yeah, you know, this is almost as much the query side of things, understanding what users are looking for. You know, how they're going to serve, what pages are going to come back for that is a totally different animal. You know, this does potentially re-rank pages, but only in the sense that, you know, it's better understanding, you know, I'm looking for an auto body shop, I'm looking for an auto garage, I'm looking for a repair shop. You know, instead of four different sets of results for that, this kind of, you know, Hummingbird and RankBrain thing is going to say, okay, these are synonymous. These concepts that what the person is asking me are related and synonymous. So let's just bundle all these search results together, as opposed to before, almost it was like an exact match kind of a system, you know?
Right. So, and you mentioned that it does change rankings. So it doesn't impact the algorithms itself. What's it doing to impact rankings, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the way it's going to impact rankings, or has been or is doing, is because it's reformatting that query to itself almost. It's almost talking to itself saying, okay, this is what we think they meant, you know, as opposed to this. Or this, you know, so now I'm going to spit back these results as opposed to before I didn't. Before I had this technology, I was more of an exact match and I would take we'd just stick back what we thought. So a set of 10 results now will have a re-ranking element to it in the sense it's going to pull a more synonymous set of data or pages from the index. It's not a scoring mechanism unto itself. It's not looking at a page and saying, okay, this is going to get a boosting or a dampening, or we're going to give a scoring element to it. It's actually changing how it's perceiving the query, which in turn, of course, is going to change what results it brings back. So in that sense, it is kind of ranking things, but it's more, again, it's not a direct scoring. It's more changing how it's perceiving the query.
So let me understand if I get this. So let's say someone has a query that's a photo of President Obama, right? So they specifically in that query, they're looking for a photo of. Now, would RankBrain look at that query and say, oh, because they're asking for an image, I'm gonna weight the image elements on a page a little more heavily than I would have weighted them in the past. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, certainly. Again, you know, like you look at the conversational search, you know, you could put into Google Voice, which is only on Chrome from what I know, and obviously on your phones, but you could put in a set in a search task. You could say, you know, who is the president of the United States? And it would bring you back results for Obama. Then you could literally say to it, who is his wife? Now, normally you put into Google, who is his wife? That's not going to bring you anything back, but it will actually, with Hummingbird and obviously by extension this kind of stuff, it would bring back stuff about Michelle Obama. So it's conversational search, just like it sounds, that your search task as it goes along, it's going to add one to the next till it thinks you've finished with that search task. So yeah, it's going to do that kind of stuff. It's going to predict what does this mean and what do we think this means, you know?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, well, let's take a quick break, and we come back. We've got some more questions for David.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrands with a...
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Our guest today is David Harry, SEO consultant with Verve Developments and founder of the SEO Dojo. Today we're talking about RankBrain and, well, what it means and whether or not it has any impact on anything in your life. So I guess that comes down to a very simple question. Does it change the way we do SEO?
You know, again, it depends how you're doing SEO. like I was saying earlier, if you're still growing your organic search traffic, I don't think you have a damn thing to worry about. Whatever you're doing is working. If it's not broken, don't fix it. So I think you're fine. If you're keyword stuffing and you're overly focused on keywords and things of that nature, down the road, it's part of this evolution. And I think you still got to get away from that a bit and focus on concepts and entities. And an entity, for anyone to simplify that one, since we didn't have it in our definitions earlier, is a person, a place, a thing, an event, things of that nature. Interestingly, the word-to-vec project, meaning when they take the words into vectors, they actually talk in there about taking entities like New York City, for example, which is three words, but it would create one vector, meaning one meaning for that as an entity. New York City is a place, so it doesn't understand that as three words. It understands it as one entity, one concept. So I don't think there's a whole lot I would tell people to change if it's, they said this whole, it's one of the top three ranking factors. But that's what people have written, and if you look back at what the person said, they said it's one of the three most important factors. And obviously to them, 15% of queries is apparently what this has affected. And so, that's how many billion of searches a day? That's a lot of, that 15% is still substantial.
It's 4.3 billion searches a day. I just figured it out for a presentation last week.
There you go. So yeah, if you understand a search geek, a search engineer, and how he's thinking, to them, I'm sure better understanding queries is damn important. Links are important, yes. Content on a page, always handy. Blank pages don't rank too well. And obviously how Google perceives a query and how Google understands a query is paramount to them. How they classify that query, how they understand it. So yeah, I'm sure it is one of the three most important things. They didn't say it was one of the three most important ranking factors, scoring elements. So I think that's gotten blown out of proportion.
So here's an interesting correlation. You mentioned entities a lot, and where's the other place we talk about entities in SEO a lot is knowledge graph, right? And how the knowledge graph ties to entities. There are definitely certain things that we try to do to help our clients show up in the knowledge graph better, or make sure they have the data in the knowledge graph is correct and accurate. Do you see any correlation or any tie between the two of those?
Yeah, again, there might be. Like you look at someone to give people better and a simple example on the vector stuff. You know, one of the research papers, they talked about, you know, king relates to queen, and but king also relates to prince, and princess relates to queen. Therefore, king relates to princess. I know that sounds kind of convoluted and strange, but that's what almost a vector is that the word princess relates to king because king relates to queen and queen relates to princess. It's a stepping stone. The relevance on entities and the knowledge graph, there was even a paper that kind of mentioned some of that stuff. But this, again, goes back to understanding those queries or ambiguous queries or unknown or unclear queries. So, you know, it probably relates to anything. Entities and non-entity type of phrases. But, you know, directly, you know, I don't think it's going to change your rankings on that kind of effort. So
I'm curious. So what do you think, like, I realize that because Rank Brain is really more about understanding and providing us a result that is more relevant to what the person is actually searching for, and it doesn't have anything to do with the actual rankings. But when it comes to this, I mean, it's about context. It's about machine learning. The more context it has, the better it can do. So would you think adding more schema to a site would perhaps be a good – be good anyway, but what do you think?
I was going to say. Yeah.
But do you think it probably has some context or some additional, would offer some help with this as well? Would certainly be something that would help Rank Brain out, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. Again, anything traditionally we're doing, you know, anything that's giving more information to the search engines, because, again, this isn't going to score schema. It's not going to score links. It's not going to score words on a page. So anything that you're traditionally doing to give more information to Google is all going to be better, because once they figure out this weird query that they're not entirely sure of, if your page satisfies what they're looking for, then yeah. So yeah, sure, schema's going to work. Local stuff, having your NAP all consistent, you know, which is name, address, phone number for folks not quite sure. It's a local space terminology. But anytime you're serving, giving them more information on our traditional methods and strategies we use, of course it's going to ultimately help you with this. But again, RankBrain itself isn't scoring your page. It's just changing what it's asking for from the set of results that's already in the index.
Mm-hmm. So the kind of another correlation of the content piece, right? So when let's look at answers. Remember when answers came out, we were trying to figure out answers. And one of the things that we noticed was that, you know, when they were pulling answers to fill the answer box in the search results, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times those answers came from pages that had also posed it as a question and answered that question, right? So a lot of people started creating content pages that were question and answer pages so they could help try to leverage answers. Would it be theoretically helpful to start creating content pages that were more conversational, right? And I'm just running this through my head as we think now, because I'm not really sure how you would do that. But it seems to me that if this is about conversational search, my brain immediately goes to, okay, well, how do I make content that fits better into a conversation than a question? You know what I mean? Most of search is a question. How do I make content that doesn't answer a question but participates in a conversation?
Again, but you're not. The conversation side is actually with Google and the end user. What you're doing with content is providing answers to those questions. So sure, you know what I mean? If you've got pages that have that question, but, you know, going back to the schema thing, like look at recipe markup and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you could potentially see something where maybe you asked how to make some type of recipe or some type of dish, but Google wasn't entirely sure what that dish was. It could turn to RankBrain to say, okay, can you give me a sense of what it is this person's looking for? So again, if you're supplying that answer, now you might actually start to come up in those results for something more obscure that you might not have before. But I don't think you really need to on the page as much be conversational, because again, that's conversation is between the user and Google itself. What Google's going to bring back is the answers to those questions or that conversation.
Yeah. So what I like to think about when something like this comes up, like RankBrain, which obviously, like we've already established, it has no impact on whether or not your site's ranking, or, you know, in this case, the results are already there. But what it does is I like how it brings a focus to other things like the schema, like how you might run a write. I mean, if it at all helps people focus a little more on creating better content, woohoo!
How many copywriters I've met over the years, in my private groups, that curse and swear at their clients who want them to, stuff phrases and keywords and all this. It drives copywriters nuts. And this is the kind of ammunition they could take now to their clients and go, no, we want to be more about concepts and flowing and natural language and solidifying concepts around entities and things of that nature. Forget the keyword stuffing. Forget just trying to get, And again, like where Google might come back going, the automotive example, where it might have looked at four different queries and brought four different results back because of the way that was simplistic semantic analysis. Now it's going to say, okay, let's just lump all this together and then rank these pages. So it can surface pages that may not have been surfaced before on higher end queries, right? So yeah, your content, it puts the onus back on content in any way you're supplying information to Google. If it's through schema, if it's through, recipe markup or anything like that, that's or building around entities. Giving, like, if you, I've done product descriptions for like a sports provider, like baseballs, and there was collectibles, I think. I would put stuff like a short paragraph in the description about the 1943 World Series or what the hell ever, because it gives context to that page about that collectible. So now it's almost bringing more information back. It's not just a page, an e-commerce page where, here's a trophy from 1942. You put a little background in it. Build out that product description almost like a miniature article to bring context back so that someone's searching for a product, Google might want to bring that page back for them because not only does it have a product description, it has a little bit of history around it that it'll, through a knowledge base or something else, it can look at and say, okay, well, that makes sense because this relates to that.
All right. Well, let's take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie up the show with a few more questions about, what people should be doing. And I think I can hear John's got something on his mind as well.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Are you paying too much for your paid advertising? Or have you quit altogether because it seemed like a huge waste of money? I'm David Ogletree, president of WME Training. Did you know that companies waste 25% of their PPC spend on average? At WME Training, we can show you how to make your AdWords account a lean, mean, converting machine. Whether you're just starting out or want to take your skills to the next level, we have a class for you. Contact the marketing experts at WMETraining.com.
Reinventing keyword research, simplifying campaign optimization, redefining competitive analysis. SpyFu brings you an entirely new way to find the most profitable keywords for your SEO and PPC campaigns. New tools, new data, and a brand new look. We've streamlined SpyFu so that you can optimize your search engine marketing more efficiently, more accurately, and more intuitively. Visit SpyFu.com. That's SpyFu.com. And start downloading your competitors' keywords now. Try it free.
Conversion Conference, the Can't Miss CRO event of 2016. Join over 750 people from dozens of countries gathering in Las Vegas, May 18th and 19th, for the biggest industry-wide conversion event ever. Four parallel tracks of top content will allow you to personalize the exact topics that you want to focus on. Interact with expert speakers at informal networking events and birds of a feather lunch table topics. Meet dozens of leading CRO companies face-to-face in the expo hall. Get hands-on with pre-conference workshops and master classes. Join us for fun activities such as zip lining and Tim Ash's after party in the presidential suite. Oh yeah, did we mention that it's in Vegas, baby? May 18th and 19th. Conversion Conference last year sold out fast, and it's expected to sell out again. So don't miss it. Go to conversionconference.com for details right now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Our guest today is David Harry, SEO Consultant with Verb Developments and founder of the SEO Dojo. So, John, I like I was saying, I think you had something on your mind.
Well, I'm just trying to put it in. I'm thinking about our listeners. I'm thinking, okay, let's say you have an SEO. He's at a company, and he's trying to get his head around this. And his boss comes to him and says, "Tell me about RankBrain. What do we have to do about RankBrain?" How do you simply explain this to somebody who has no idea what they're talking about? I guess that's what I'm trying to get to.
You tell your boss, we don't worry about it.
It doesn't always work that way. Unfortunately, bosses don't usually take that as a good answer. How would you, in the simplest terms possible, how would you tell your mom what this is?
I'm so much fun at a family get together. No. So what have you been doing lately, Dave? Well, this thing, Ray, where's everyone going? Come back.
Yeah, I don't think we ever get much happiness talking about our business.
No, I get that all the time. I just tell people I work on the internet. That's it.
Yeah, but I tell them I'm a spammer. They don't ask me any more questions at all.
I think if I was going to, point, and I do. I've got corporate clients that have asked me, and I just, it's the same with AMP pages and things like that, or back in the day when Schema came out or anything. I often tell people, let's just calm down and see how this works out, because we've seen many things come from Google that, they throw away a year later. So a lot of times, my first advice with anything new is just wait. Don't start knee-jerk reaction. One of the guys I was doing a session about this the other day, and someone in a little chat on the side said, hey, by the way, kneejerkreaction.com is available. Or kneejerk SEO or something like that.com. So yeah, I think if I'm going to lean anyone in any direction in my meetings with my corporate clients and stuff, I'd be telling them that to look at the larger context, that everything is starting to look towards conversational search, which is ultimately going to get you into, to mobile and voice search and things of that nature. And I think this is just another piece of that larger context that I would move them towards. RankBrain unto itself, I don't think I'd be telling people as much, here's specifically what RankBrain does and what we need to do. I would take a larger context and talk to those around me in the sense that, okay, this is part of Hummingbird, which does this. And this is all on an evolution going towards voice search down the road. Because, Googlers I've talked to in the past, the reason they seem to, and I agree that it's a holy grail, is because a lot of the world have internet infrastructure, right? But they all got mobile phones. And this is why Google has such a big, hard on to use a phrase, all right? But it's why that's there, is because, so much, look at the third world. They don't have internet infrastructure, but they have mobile phones. Mm-hmm. So I think if anything, I'm going to say let's go that direction. I think on a secondary level, like we've been talking about Schema and other things, make more concise content, make more, make better content that tells Google exactly what the page is about and what you want Google to know about it. So I think those two things is what it leans you towards. I wouldn't directly be trying to do anything with RankBrain, but I'd understand its evolution and the pieces of where it fits into the larger puzzle,
Mm-hmm. I think one of the positives of RankBrain is that, going back to rankings here, kind of a loop here, but if you did have a good ranking anyway in search results, and RankBrain happens to send more traffic because it's showing that result more often, because actually showing that set of results more often, because it is very valid, you got good content, it's actually could be delivering better results.
Yeah, you'll show up in more queries because, again, it's going to take those concepts around a query and spit back pages. So, yeah, if you've got strong ranking pages, things like Hummingbird or RankBrain are actually probably going to have you showing up in more query spaces than you did before, which, of course, means traffic. So, yeah, certainly.
And send even better quality traffic.
For sure.
Yay. but it also, I would imagine, make those first few rankings even more critical than ever.
Indeed. Indeed. Because, again, you're going to probably be showing up for some longer queries and ambiguous queries that you didn't rank for before. So most certainly, that click bias, meaning for folks who don't understand, click bias is just, someone's going to click number one listing on Google 60% of the time, number two, 33, so on and so on. That's click bias. So that above the fold ranking probably with this type of evolution of Google becomes more important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about where this is leading eventually. You think about 10, 20 years out when you're sitting in your Google driverless car and you tell the Google car, you say, hey, take me to get my Jaguar fixed. Well, is it going to take you to the auto body shop or the vet?
Let's hope they get that right.
Yeah.
That might be Tesla, though. Tesla's also doing it, right? So, you know,
that's, yeah, your Google car will just take it. But no, you wouldn't even, you know, it'd be like that cart, that Pixar movie or whatever, where everyone was big fat and they just sat in chairs all day. Just really, think about it, John. Do you have to get in your car? No. You literally sit in your house. You sit in your house and say, you know, go get me these new shoes that are on sale at this store by me. And the car just drives down there. Someone comes out of the store and drives it home to you. You're not even leaving the house with your Google car, I figure.
At least there's someone at the store that can take the shoes out to the car. Eventually, that's going to disappear too.
You only need one pair of shoes your whole life. You never use them. We're out. Yeah,
that's true.
I looked at a geopatent a couple of years ago that was really kind of interesting in the sense that it was even looking at temporal natures of where and GPS to where you're moving, meaning, you know, if you're going to work every day, it will change results as you take that hour drive. Like if you just said, you know, where's some good coffee or something like that. But it would also look at like maybe every Thanksgiving you go to a city or a state or a province that's a couple over from you. It'll notice that over an annual basis and change results based upon the assumption that you're going to be traveling to this place. So they look at temporal nature tied in with geolocation, which is interesting. So you get into that whole voice search conversation now. You could literally get different rankings on based upon where you are, where you're traveling, what, you know, is it a weekend? Maybe they're going to show you more golf stuff because you've been going golfing or some things of that nature. So, yeah, conversational search, I think, is going to, or even voice search, is going to evolve into this sort of temporal and geographic type of sets of results. So, you know, that whole thing we learned years ago with mobile and geolocal is that, you know, no two sets of results the same, you know. I had people in different cities search the word hockey for me, you know, because I'm Canadian. And literally each city, each person that did it for me was getting a different results of local hockey teams just with the word hockey in it. So even where you're located makes a difference to that 10 blue links. It's not the old days where that's always consistent.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see from a totally nerdy perspective here, the correlation of the number of algorithmic factors that Google can consider and the size of storage space and technology. Because, I mean, really, it's all just a matter of storage and being able to parse it all. But even they can only have
processor capability is kind of even more important than storage.
Yeah, and the size thing's important. One of the papers with the Word2Vec thing, which again is sort of the engine, like for anyone to get their head around it, think that the AI part, you could look at the Google Brain project, that's kind of the AI machine learning part. The Word2Vec is kind of the nuts and bolts of it. And then, you know, Hummingbird sort of that conversational thing that ties it all in. But they were saying in the one paper that they had like a 75% success rate, meaning quality, with 33 billion words. When they trimmed that down to 6 billion, the quality of the results that Brain was spitting back went down to 65%. Mm-hmm. So the larger the corpus of words, the better this thing seems to operate and learn.
Mm-hmm. But the larger that pile of words is, the more processing they're going to have to use to get through it all to understand it, right?
And this right. is all just going to get. That's probably part of the reason why they're doing it offline as well. Yeah. I imagine, right?
You'd think it'd be a lot easier to sandwich a whole lot of processors versus. I mean, there's actually a size consideration for storage. Yeah. So
wasn't there an actual breakthrough in quantum computing not too long ago? Maybe the end of last year. If that actually happens, those quantum computers are like, you know, thousands of times faster than the fastest computers we have today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, we're really going down the nerdy route here. Okay.
Yeah, we've got way beyond 101 here.
Yeah.
So the train has left the station.
So if this is a total poke here because I know that this brings up a lot of points, but if Rank Brain's not going to be a serious consideration for users, really, I mean, it isn't, what should they be thinking of? Like if they hear an algorithm, a word of an algorithm, someone's talking about what? PageRank, right? You know, what sort of stuff, if they see an article about something, a nice little link-baity article, should they be reading? Or should they even care?
Well, we all know that the simplest advice in this industry is don't believe anything or everything you read. You know, you have to do a little homework. You have to dig in. You know, that's how I got here on this bloody topic was, you know, I didn't accept everything that was out there, you know. And sadly, you know, you have to. You can't just be blind. You can't just blindly, Search Engine Land published it. It must be true. Or, you know, back in the day, Matt Cutts said it. It must be true. We all knew we had to read between the lines with that guy. So you have to use that most important tool because someone emailed me the other day and they said, I'm doing this this experts roundup. What are the three most important tools? I said, okay, let me think here. My intelligence, my wisdom, and my brain. because that's the best tools. You got to have experience and learn, and you have to reason things out for yourself. I don't think that any of us should just trust anything that's written, no matter who says it.
And luckily, I think we're all fortunate to have been in this industry so long. Part of it is just putting it through our bullshit filter.
Yeah, you have to. We've learned that over the years.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I know that people who are new to this don't necessarily have that. But and yes, what you said is exactly true. You got to do your own research and dig in and listen to SEO 101.
Oh, yeah. You definitely have to do that every week.
Or you will miss something. And hang out at the SEO dojo. We'll give him that credit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, good show. Thanks so much for being here, David.
Oh, my definitely. Perfect. Thank you for helping me get the word out. It was my sanity. Thanks.
Again, David's article is published over at thesempost.com. It's probably right there on the front page right now, but if not, just search for Rank Brain on the site. I'm sure it'll be the first one that pops up. Read it. It's worth your time.
Yeah, and I published over at verbdevelopments.com on our blog. I actually found a patent from Google on WordDevEx, so I cover that over there.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, thanks for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google and Google Plus. You can also email me via ross@stepforth.com. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.